Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us today, This Week in America. Today, we're speaking with Dean McFalls, an educator, author, and former Catholic priest, who's now the proud father of Gabrielle, his five-year-old son. You may recall our interview with Dean about his book, Delivered on Christmas, the anthology covering two decades of adventures during the Cold War. As an activist, citizen diplomat, and missionary, then a dedicated, high-profile priest for 18 years, Dean has served in dozens of countries and has been committed to defending human rights and dignity in a wide variety of ways. Today, as a married man, he'll tell us why he believes that the time has come for the Roman Catholic Church to allow some priest in some circumstances to be married. Welcome back on the program, Dean McFalls. Dean, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thanks so much, Rick. It's been an apocalyptic day. We had thunder and lightning here. Last night, a huge accident with a semi and a truck. And then this morning, a huge rainbow came up as I was driving off to daily mass. And so I figured it's a day to talk.
It really is. We've got a little bit of everything, and it seems to be a way of life now with everything changing with the weather out there. You get snow one day in places that don't normally get snow, and then you have heavy rains and the whole thing. And I've been looking forward to the conversation today, and let's go back just to touch on a little bit of the background. Talk about your life journey. You brought what brought you from a Protestant family to the new mission in the Catholic Church. Give us a little bit of background on who Dean McFall is.
Sure, Rick. I grew up as the second of five kids in a Protestant family up in Seattle, Washington. And I was a searcher, a seeker from the youngest age. All kinds of things were happening in my life, and I began to notice them. Also, we had the Vietnam War, the murder or the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and then Robert, and then Martin Luther King. I saw Jimi Hendrix in just before he was passed away, and many of my child heroes died. So it was a tough time for us, and I had to find my way, looking for something permanent, looking for something that had meaning that would extend from the beginning to the end. And that's why I started going into religions, Eastern religions first, Zen Buddhism, and then finally I came to the Catholic Church at the age of 25. During this time, Rick, I was also seeking about what to do with my own personal life. I had girlfriends when I was younger. I almost got married to a girl when I was 18. She was a fantastic person, but we decided to go our own ways. But later on, I started, like we call it the via negativa. It's the negative way of letting go of everything. And so I lived like a monk for many years.
You know, Dean McFalls, our guest on the program, his website is deanmcfalls.com. It's an excellent website, a lot of great information there. Background on many of the things we'll be talking about on the program today. Talk about that that search that you went through it and ending up with the Catholic Church and then feeling this calling to be both married and to be a priest.
I got drawn towards the Catholic Church at a young age, but then came back to it when I was in my 20s studying in New Mexico. And as I searched different religions and Christian traditions as well, I began to feel that the Catholic Church had the most to offer in terms of richness, of tradition, of faith, of practice. I went to many monasteries and associated with different religious orders. So ultimately, I did feel drawn and at the age of 25 became a Catholic. At the same time, I was struggling because the moment I really made the decision to become a Catholic and I really felt called to be a priest, I began to meet incredibly beautiful Catholic women who would make marvelous wives and companions. And this was a struggle that just never let up, Rick, it never let up. At first, I thought it was just God testing me, or maybe the devil tempting me, or maybe life saying, you better make a right choice. But ultimately, after serving as a missionary for 3 years and then as a Catholic priest for 18, and when my son was conceived, I realized that all along, God had been inviting me to be both a married man and a Catholic priest.
Have you found in sharing your story that others might have gone through what you went through, that they feel drawn to be a husband, to be a father, while at the same time they feel a definite calling to be a priest and to guide other people?
Absolutely. It's been from the beginning of time, Rick. Of course, we have the Orthodox churches and the different rites they have. We have Eastern Catholic, of which there are 23 rites. We have our brothers and sisters in the Reformation churches, the Christian churches that are not Catholic. All of them understand marriage to be an integral part of life, of faith, and of ministry. In the Roman Catholic Church, it's been a struggle for the last 20 centuries. For 2,000 years, it's been a battle in the church. For me, it's a no-brainer. When my son was born, the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, perhaps the greatest calling I'd had, I saw no contradiction whatsoever with raising a child as beautiful as he is, a gift from God, and serving as the Catholic priest. The only contradiction is within the discipline of the Catholic Church, which doesn't permit this, unless you happen to come in through the back door from the Episcopal or the Methodist Church or the Lutheran Church and become a Catholic. Otherwise, it's not permitted.
Let's go back and talk about some of the history. Wasn't there a time in the Catholic Church when priests could be married and raise families?
For the first 11 centuries, basically, it was happening. Not everywhere. And, of course, there were long discussions, even in the Council of Nicaea and other councils. The issue was hotly debated. And from time to time, an emperor or a pope would dissolve all the existing marriages and declare all the children illegitimate. And the wives sometimes could even be subjected to servitude or to slavery. They were considered more concubines than wives. And so it's always been a hard go for the women that loved the priest and for their children. It wasn't until 1139, the year 1139, at the Second Lateran Council, that the matter was officially settled. But even during the Renaissance, you had many bishops and priests and even popes with mistresses and with children. It's a reality. As much as we'd like to believe otherwise, in the Roman Catholic Church, priests are human, and we do have sexuality, and we need to process it. We need to process it in a healthy way. I believe that celibacy is a beautiful institution. I lived it many years of my own life, even prior to becoming a Catholic. I understand the gem or the value of dedicating a person's life 100% to God. But celibacy cannot be regulated, or it cannot be mandated. You can't mandate for a person to do something which is not God-given and which is not natural to the human person.
Dean McFalls, our guest on the program. His website is deanmcfalls.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. Having an interesting discussion here, and as you're talking, I'm thinking you've really witnessed this on both sides. You know the joys of being a husband and a father. You know what goes into being a good priest and leading people. It's always seemed to me that a priest would be able to relate better in family situations, having some experience being part of a family in terms of a husband, wife, children, that type of thing. Is that oversimplifying, or is there some credibility to that?
It's absolutely not an oversimplification. I said myself, and many priests will say today, that priests are able to understand because they understand the dynamics of love, of human relationships. But until a person is actually married to a woman, and accountable to her, and then accountable to children, you never understand. It's a huge difference. It's a different universe. And therefore, if a person really wants to serve married families well and to be on their level, to understand from their skin and from their shoes, they need to be able to explore the gift of marriage itself, or at least to no longer say that marriage is a second way, second best, and that somehow priesthood is elevated above it all. We're human beings, and priests have all the failings, all the sins, potentially, of any other human person.
There are those that will say, if you go that direction, you're opening a whole can of worms. You're bringing about more complications. And I'm thinking, I guess they're probably saying that instead of a priest by himself, who has his entire life to devote to the people in the parish, he has his also family obligations, which might, I guess, infringe in the time he spends with others. Is that one of the arguments against priests being married?
Sure, there's a practical issue there of loyalty, of attention, and of energy. But the fact is, you can think of 100 professions in which the father or the mother is taken away for military service,
yes,
for the police, whatever it is. Almost every profession demands loyalty and time. And therefore, the priesthood is not exclusive in that. Also, to say that marriage is a can of worms, which is a very common expression, means that we're looking at marriage in a negative light and the priesthood in some kind of elevated positive light. Let's put them on an even playing field. Priesthood can be compromised by loneliness, by other loyalties, and some priests are very loyal to their family of origin. We have the majority of priests serving us here in the United States are from other countries, and they're loyal to their families of origin. They may be sending back money, They may go back for 6 weeks at a time. It's not as if priests or single people are 100% dedicated to the Lord and only to the Lord, and married people are 100% dedicated only to the family. There's always a struggle going on to balance priorities. But I will say, it's not the amount of time you have to serve, it's the quality of service you provide. I believe a married man is capable of offering that quality, even if it's sometimes conflicting with family responsibilities.
I can remember this debate like decades ago as a young person in the Catholic Church. Do you think making any progress having an open discussion about whether or not, maybe under some circumstances, priests could be allowed to be married? Are we making any progress in that direction?
I'd say we're not. I thought we were with Pope Francis, but then he kicked back on that recently, saying that it's not going to really be an option. I think the Catholic bishops are deathly afraid of other liabilities. And since it in the past has worked more or less for priests to be unmarried, they want to continue the status quo. But the fact is, Rick, it is not working. We have a tremendous shortage of priests. And every time we say there's a new springtime in the church, we have another scandal, another drama. Something else happens that just beats us back down and lowers the morale. So the time has come for the Catholic Church to take this leap of faith. We have 15,000 married men who are deacons, permanent deacons. Some of them could be excellent Catholic priests with full faculty for their sacramental service. We have thousands of ex-priests who have been prepared and served as priests but now are married men. Many of them could come back and offer tremendous service. We have thousands of potential candidates to the priesthood that shy away or do not persevere because they do feel called to married life. So it's an issue, honestly, of being realistic about where the church is at and recognizing that we have millions of Catholics that are underserved because we simply don't have enough Catholic priests.
If they came to you and said, Dean, intellectually, we understand what you're saying. How do we implement that? How do we do it all at once? Do we do this in sort of a fragmented, structured way? How do we go about doing this? Is there a way safely to begin this process?
Yes, Rick, it has to be absolutely systematic and extremely careful. We already know that even for Orthodox and Eastern Rite priests, once they are ordained, they cannot remarry. And there has to be some kind of protection so that priests are not on the prowl or not looking out at their congregation as potential wives. We also need to understand that people are fallible and there's a lot of sin involved. It's impossible, I think, for a man to serve as a priest and a husband if the wife's not 100% on board with it. We also need the kids to be on board with it. There needs to be a lot of training. We don't give enough training to married couples right now. Couples that are preparing for marriage are rushed into it, and sometimes they don't get any preparation at all. So we need equal amount of training for a quality sacramental marriage, and also the formation of the couple together in the preparation for the priesthood. Like I said, we could begin with our former priests who are already married and do a test case, pilot case, slowly, of those we call proven virtue, and also of those deacons that have what we call proven virtue and a good track record with their wife, maybe married at least 5 years. Absolutely, Rick, something not to rush into, absolutely something to understand seriousness and the potential hazards.
So you're just calling for a study and possibly test cases, so to speak, to see how this would work, not totally doing away with church policy, slowly moving that direction.
Yeah, the church moves slowly, and yes, we discovered after Vatican Council II, the Second Vatican Council, how dangerous it is to move quickly. However, we have about 140 at least married Catholic priests who came to us from the Episcopal, the Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist traditions, Presbyterians, and they would be excellent resources to begin with. They could become our counselors.
What kind of response are you getting from people in the church? Because you've been, again, talking about this in a very logical, rational way. Do you get any positive feedback at all?
Vast majority of feedback I get from ordinary people is very positive. And they see Gabriel. Our son is incredibly beautiful. This child is sent by God. They see us as a family together in all kinds of activities. And they see we're normal people, but they still call me Father Dean, Rick. The majority of people still call me Father Dean because they know the priesthood is forever. Now, as far as the hierarchy goes, I've written over 50 letters to archbishops, cardinals, bishops, to spokespersons for the church, media personalities. And how many responses have I received, Rick, in 5.5 years? Zero. Zero. Not a single time has anyone representing the Catholic Church officially written a letter back to me, gotten back to me and said, you know what, we're praying for you. You know, we understand your situation. Zero, Rick. And that's why I'm going public, because I'm tired of waiting for someone in the hierarchy to take the risk, to take on the liability of writing me a letter. I know we have good rapport with our bishops, and you know, we love each other. We just sent the bishop a congratulations for his first year here. We love our priests, but they're all deathly afraid to go on record. Or maybe I'm considered to be myself a liability because of my personal situation, and I accept that. I just wish they had more courage.
Well, you're very brave in going forward in talking about this. A couple minutes left in the program. Before we give information on all you've got going and how to get in contact with Dean McFalls, our guest on the program, just very briefly, it's unfair to say briefly, talk about what's happening in the church with all the predatory issues that we hear about in some cases, the cover-ups, the coming forward with new policy. Talk about that. Talk about a stain on the church, and it's one that's so sensational, it grabs headlines when something happens.
Rick, if you look at the horrible storms happening around the world and what I talked about, the apocalypse today, all of those are symbolic of what's happening in the Catholic Church. Tremendous loss of morale, a tremendous loss of credibility. We have almost zero credibility now as a church when we speak out about pro-life issues or about the way people ought to behave. It's devastating. It's been our 9/11. It's been our Hiroshima. And the Catholic Church is going to have to build from the roots up. It's going to have to rise back out of the ashes, but with integrity. Now, I would like to support, because I am not getting any support from the church, and I've run out of money. I've been teaching in the public schools. We've renovated homes. I've worked with different agencies, but basically, I have not been able to get the kind of work I wanted. I guess I've been blacklisted in our community because I live in the same community now that I served since 1994 as a seminarian, as a priest. So if anyone would like to at least get on board and maybe perhaps find a way to support, I'll be launching a GoFundMe campaign in the beginning of April. It's going to be under the auspices of Dear Gabriel Ministries. Dear Gabriel Ministries. Of course, there is my website, which is www.deanmcfalls.com. And there's a post office box to which you can write. I would really appreciate it if anyone out there is of like mind. I will say, Rick, that many people who are in my situation have turned against the teachings of the church almost completely. I am not doing that. I'm still with the Catholic Church's basic teachings on morality, on life. And I confess regularly. I go to Mass regularly. I submit myself to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And so I really can't be associated or working with people that are calling into question all of its teachings, even though I respect everyone and their right to believe what they do.
And again, you'll find all the information, a lot there, and all of this information will be listed on Dean's website, which is very simply Dean McFalls, DeanMcFalls.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.com, you can link on directly to Dean's website. He has the post office box he mentioned. He's got an email, which you'll find when you go to the website, which is FatherDeanHere@Yahoo.com. That's FrDeanHere@Yahoo.com.
Rick, can I correct it? Yeah, I no longer use that publicly, so it would be booksbydean@gmail.com.
Oh, okay.
Booksbydean@gmail.com. But please don't spam me.
Okay. Yes, yes. We got enough of that. Let's just keep it intellectually stimulating and get the email off to Dean. And all that's at the website, deanmcfalls.com. Dean, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. I love the passion that you have, that you bring to this cause. It's not going to go away, and it's something that you're out there talking about in a logical, rational, calm manner. And I appreciate your approach, and it's always great to have you with us on the program.
God bless you, Rick. I really appreciate this, too. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us once again. Dean McFalls, his website is deanmcfalls.com. And, of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you will link on directly and be able to communicate with Dean. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.